Bullying, harassment, and other abusive behavior are some of the most common psychosocial hazards that workers are exposed to at work in the USA. We'll talk to a former target of this behavior who's turned this experience into a cause to help others. Up next on this episode of the Psych Health and Safety USA podcast. From Flourish DX, this is the Psych Health and Safety USA podcast. Safety at work is more than freedom from physical injury. To be safe, you have to feel safe. Join us each week as we discuss psychologically healthy and safe work in the USA. Well, welcome to this episode of the Psych Health and Safety USA podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in each week. We seek to increase our awareness of the importance of psychological health and safety by learning from the lived experiences, the research, and the expertise of our guests, as well as advancing strategies to reduce harm and minimize the vulnerability of psychosocial hazards in the American workplace. You know, sometimes the universe just connects people based on their common interest. And that's an example here today. We'll certainly get into more of the story. But this connection, I think, has created has helped me realize that I've got family. And this family member is up in Michigan. And we're going to talk. We're going to have some conversation. So a little bit more on the backstory so the listeners know how we got here. So I've been doing some work here in the city that I live around a new ordinance that would protect the health and safety of workers that work for the city. And I posted that on Facebook, and I got this note from someone I'd never met before who talked about the work that she's doing up in the Detroit area. And I met Kristen Peoples. Kristen, how are you today? How are things going for you?
I am wonderful, Brother David. How are you today?
I'm good. It's just so I've really been looking forward to, you know, being able to have this conversation. Well, amongst other people, we've had a few already. And the way I get started on, you know, on this podcast is a very simple question. It's a little bit different for everybody, but for you. So who is Kristen?
Oh, wow. Well, Kristen Peoples is a wife, mother of three. I have two fur babies. I am also someone who's very passionate about workplace bullying abuse and making sure that when people go to work, they are treated with dignity and respect. As you mentioned at the top of this, at the top of the show here, you know, there's a lot of people that's dealing with a silent epidemic, and it's called workplace bullying abuse. Mm-hmm. And it has been my passion ever since my lived experience. And it's actually something that brought us together, right, which is a blessing in that. Right. But I just want to make sure that no one has to ever deal with workplace bullying abuse. So I am putting my 10 years of pain that's now fueled passion into making sure that workplace bullying abuse becomes illegal and that, you know, people can just be their best at home and in the workplace. So right, this me trying to ensure healthy and safety in the workplace, it's not only beneficial to the employee, but also to the employer as well. So it's just a win-win for everyone. And that's absolutely what I'm all about.
Absolutely. So as I share in these conversations, so the academic definition of a psychosocial hazard is a psychosocial factor that is perceived or experienced by the person as a threat. And sometimes people have difficulty connecting that to health and safety. They don't really see how, is that really a safety thing? I honestly mm-hmm. believe that it is. My research suggests that it is. And I think that we can find ourselves in those environments sometimes and not really know what's going on to us, but something just doesn't feel right. And right, when I heard your story, that it really, you know, it just, matter of fact, I've shared bits and pieces of it with others. So just tell us a little bit about how, you know, how did you come to realize that, you know, what you were experiencing wasn't cool? what was going on in your life at the time?
I always tell people that, you know, when you're being mistreated, whether that's in a personal relationship or a professional relationship. And it was one of those things that I noticed. I had, now let me just preface it by saying this. I had 10 years of uninterrupted in terms of the workplace bullying abuse. I just had a wonderful time at my job. I had great managers, great management. And I had this this yearning to be a part of another department, which was on the design side of things. As you guys know, my background, if you follow me on bossupculture.org, that I started, you know, my career was I was an engineer. And I did that for 10 years. And then about the 9th, 10th year, I transitioned to our design department, where I was quickly made aware of workplace bullying abuse. And it starts off something that starts off subtle. In my case, it was an email that was sent over to China. And one of my peers at the time, she was a little incompetent in her job, but she was one of those people that they were eyeing to promote. And so in her knowing that she was one of those people on the fast track, she used that to her advantage, and not to mention the inappropriateness of my manager, who had a crush on her, that kind of just fueled the experience for me in terms of workplace bullying abuse. So it started off with me not being able to attend meetings, which was part of my job, me just getting extra work, the appraisals, you know, when you start having your reviews, you know, you're talked to and told that, well, it's your work is great, but it's your attitude. But it all started for me from an email that I sent. And she, I guess it made her look bad. And she told my manager about it, and he wanted to come to her rescue. And with him coming to her rescue, so to speak, I was on the receiving end of the workplace bullying abuse. And that's kind of where it started, because he was trying to, you know, further his agenda and his inappropriateness, which is an issue in itself. Wow. But I actually got caught up in terms of him trying to prove himself, and her obviously having some ego issues with me knowing my job better than she knew her job. And it usually comes from people that are feeling incompetent. So started off small, and then ended up growing into something way bigger. And hence the reason why I have so many stories on my channel, on my YouTube channel. And I wish I didn't, but just one thing after another, after another. But it starts with that gut feeling that we all have when people are being treated differently from you.
Right, right. So let's stick with that. So your gut tells you some things start happening.
Yes.
The gut kind of kicks in and says, I don't know, something is not right with this. So for you, how long was that before you really felt like you needed to take some action, or you started to, you know, think that something had to happen different?
Well, it actually started that very day, the very day that I sent this email to China, and she referred me to the manager, who then proceeded to take me in the hallway and curse me out. That was a moment of shock to me. Yeah, it all happened so fast. And it was a moment of shock to me, because he cursed me out. He told me he was going to make my life a living hell. And you know, when people tell you things, you're like, you're standing there in disbelief. And it really caught me off guard that here I am, you know, been in this job for over 10 years. He told me I was great at my job. He called me a superstar, all the things. And for that one little incident to happen, and it snowballed so quickly that it didn't dawn on me till I got home. When I left and I closed my computer that day, I made sure that I emailed human resources to let them know that, hey, actually I emailed my manager, sorry. I emailed my manager to let him know, hey, based on, you know, what happened today, I need to work from home. And only for him to report me to human resources that evening that I walked off the job and I should be fired. It happened so quickly. But it was one of those things that I thought was, you know, once I met with human resources, that everything was going to be fine. But then you have human resources that gets involved, and they work for who? The company, right?
Right, right.
And so from there, it was just every little thing I did was scrutinized. I was micromanaged, and it was just those things that my gut was telling me every day after that, wow, I really thought that this was going to be something temporary. And I think that a lot of people that are targets of workplace bullying abuse, they think that, okay, this is this one incident and it's going to go away. Unfortunately, once you are flagged, it's just a snowball effect. And I don't know if anyone in my experience has been able to come back from it. But yes, it starts from your gut, like I said before. But in my case, it snowballed, but it snowballed in so many little sneaky instances that I thought I had a handle on it until I didn't.
Right, right. Wow. I'm actually, that's a lot. That's a lot, because at least some of the situations that I've both seen and experienced myself, it was going on a lot longer, and something happens and then you picked up on it. It sounds like in your case, it really was a more of an avalanche than a snowball. Like,
oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's what's, you know, so it, and of course, everyone's experience is going to be different. You're going to have some better subtle things. But again, we all have this personal, again, I call it your personal GPS.
Right.
When you know that you're being treated differently from your coworkers. So if you're requesting time off, your coworkers don't have an issue taking time off. But for whatever reason, everything you do is scrutinized.
Right.
Best believe you should start taking inventory.
Right.
And to find out if you, let me just start taking notes on this. And that's when I start telling people to document things.
Sure. So you shared that you had the conversation with the good folks in HR.
Yes.
what's your perception or experience about how the organization as a whole, how did they respond to this?
Well, you know, the organization is out for self, right? And unfortunately, what we don't realize is when we are hired in with these companies, we get so excited when we get these jobs, right? I know for me, I was extremely excited. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm working for this great company, right? That everyone knows. And so you're excited about the opportunity. But when you look at the culture of a lot of these companies, they are here and a lot of the laws are for the corporations. And they're not for the employee.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, it just tells you about the culture, because when you do try to reach out to people, and trust me, I follow the chain of command. Mm. I'm very old school in that regard. Mm. You know, I don't just go straight to the CEO of the company. I followed, hey, management. Okay, let's go to the next step and the next step. And then, of course, when human resources got involved, I was just like, wow, where do I go next? And so the next thing was for me to reach out to, and some companies and corporations have in place like a helpline, if you will, where you can report wrongdoing. And of course, as an employee, you think, wow, this helpline is for me. And then when you report things and the investigator reached back out to me to start investigating what was happening at work, well, they had the same, my email was kristen.peoples@thecompany.com. So did the investigator. They get paid by the same people, right?
Right.
So what are those people there for? They are there to get information from you so that the corporation knows, because it's their culture. They already know what their culture is. They know what they've been turning a blind eye to.
Right.
It's just, you know, things that are in, you know, in place for you to share and kind of tell on yourself and give the information over to them. And that's how you know that companies, when you report these things and things aren't done, but instead I quickly learned that the information was used, basically going to be used against me, so they can find out what I was going to, if I did want to report it outside the company, which I eventually did, what I was going to do with the information.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's how you know that the corporations, that's how you know what the culture is. It's because it's not, because nothing changed. It
right.
just got worse.
Wow. Wow. Oh boy. So you start, you experience this, this again, avalanche of, you know, again, you weren't physically struck. You weren't punched or kicked. At least I don't believe that you were. It was all this emotional kind of abuse. But, you know, it seems in our, you know, previous conversation, you know, that it did start to have some physical effects on you as well. I mean, you
Absolutely.
Start to feel it in terms of. So if you would mind sharing a little bit about that part of the experience.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I didn't get hit and I wasn't struck, but I had one of these day one.
Oh,
cussing out. Right.
Right.
You were this, you were that. Right. And this was what was on tape that they did, that HR failed to pull tape when I asked security about it. However, from that day forward, after being called into human resources and they told me that he was, you know, asking for me to be fired because I walked off the job, I was fearful every single day. Every
wow.
morning there, I felt as if there was this elephant sitting on my chest.
Mm.
I felt sick to my stomach and nauseous sometimes. I would cry myself to work every morning.
Mm.
and would pull myself together before I walked in. I never showed them what was going. I was dying in the inside.
Right.
But when I walked through those doors, you would have never known, you right. know. And I suggest anyone that's going through this, never share with them what's really going on with you. Write that stuff down. Share that with people that you love. Right. However, I dealt with the avalanche, just like the avalanche hit me with the workplace bullying abuse. From there, I developed high blood pressure.
Wow.
I gained like 45, almost 50 pounds.
Wow.
I was having nightmares where I literally felt like someone was dragging me out of my bed at night. What else? I was, I started, you know, relying on drinking wine every day. And that was that became a habit that I quickly nipped in the bud because I saw that it was used as a crutch initially, but how quickly things can get out of control.
Sure.
Right. So I seek the help of a psychiatrist where I was essentially popping a pill, right, to numb me throughout the day. So I would literally, my doctor had instructed me to take a half a pill. She asked me, how long does it take for you to get to work every day? So about a half an hour. Take a half a pill before you get to work, take the other half when you get there. So I would essentially be numbing myself when I was in the thick of it throughout the day, and then the wine at night. And it was just something, I was just falling apart at the seams. My relationships were falling apart on a personal end in terms of my family. I was carrying that burden hard every single day.
And I
just couldn't get it out of my mind. Holidays. That's all I thought about. I didn't know if I was going to get fired from day to day because at will employees, you know, that right to work thing that we voted for on the bill that we didn't know what we were voting for. tells corporations, oh, you can fire that person for whatever reason if you're not unionized. So it was this constant fear and this sickening feeling that affected everything from, like I said, my physical health to my mental health. I was diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and PTSD.
Wow.
It got really, really bad.
Wow.
Really fast.
Wow. Wow. And you know, I find that amazing when we talk about psychological health and safety, that when we go to talk to even therapists and psychiatrists and such, what often, at least what I hear is, here is what we should do to you to fix you. You should take a pill. You should do this thing. But what doesn't seem to happen is the environment itself doesn't seem to get addressed.
Yeah.
So we try to convince people, oh, you need to be more resilient. You need to do, and I'm not suggesting at all that those things are not important. It's important to do a little bit of both. You do have to work on ourselves. We do. I mean, that's important. But we also, it's also important that the environment itself be addressed as well, because I'm going to guess you probably weren't the only one.
Oh, I know I wasn't the only one. And I'm sure in your experience, you can probably attest to this. I remember a couple of people. There was a woman that stands out to me in my memory as we're speaking right now, that she would go on stress leave when I first started working there. And I didn't understand. I'm like, why is this lady going on leave? And she was a nice lady. And then on her way out the door, she told me, she said, really watch out for these people. This is not a good working environment. And then I never saw her again. And there was another lady that comes to mind as I'm speaking of her. She disappeared in the night. Right. So when you start seeing signs, because the signs were there that the work environment was not conducive to anyone's health. And it is a psychological hazard.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
And people leave. People do not leave. Companies, they leave bad bosses. They leave the environment that is toxic that they can't take it anymore. So it's either you choose yourself, because you're sacrificing yourself by going to work every day.
That's right. Yeah, it's interesting. We're, you know, as a society, particularly here in the U.S., having this conversation about the great resignation, great reassignment, whatever we call it, great something. And, you know, often connected to the pandemic. But again, people have heard me say this before. The pandemic didn't really change much. It just exposed virtually everything. It exposed things that were already there. And there's a part of me that doesn't necessarily buy that there is a worker shortage. I don't. And there are people who want to work, but they don't want to work in the environments that exist.
Absolutely.
You say you can't recruit people. There's a reason that you can't recruit people, because people talk. They talk to each other about, and particularly those who are there, even some people who have been at these companies, these organizations for years, they have adjusted. They feel like, I've got a couple more years to put up with this and then I'm gone, but don't come here, baby. Or some don't come here. Don't come, because they know that they can't say it out loud sometimes. Well, we'll have to talk about this off work. But it's like we all know it, but nothing gets done about it. And folks are left in the situation you were left dealing with this, you know, and going through this. So if you think back to that time, so where did you go? Who really was, you know, propping you up and helping you? Who was in your corner?
Oh my goodness. My family and my friends, they understood, because I was crying out for help. Like, you know, it's not normal for someone to come home and talk about their job. And every day there's a story every single day. And and I know I started becoming a burden on my family, but I so appreciate them sticking in there with me and listening to me. And I think that as people listen to this conversation that we're having, that it starts an even bigger conversation around dinner tables, and even tables when you're meeting your friend for a drink after work, and they're talking about their job. They're not talking about their job because they want to talk about their job when they're complaining about things that are happening at work. They are talking to you because they need to vent. They need to get this off of them. And I know for me, it was my friends and my family allowing me to vent and asking me, where can they help me? Where could they help me? You know, so if someone knew of another job, they say, hey, Chris, I know this other job that you can go to, even if I didn't know if I was going to move on it, because you almost feel paralyzed when you're going through this, right?
You do.
You're stuck in the loop of, like I said, for me, I was 10 years in. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to retire from this place. This is it. You know, when you have your plan, this was my plan. When my husband and I sat down, this is like, we started having children and planning our family. I'm like, okay, I'm going to retire at this age. This is where I am, 401k, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And you get caught up in, like, you know, like, where do we go from here? And it took my husband telling me one day when he couldn't take it anymore. Right. And he saw me on the couch, and I can't tell you what I was looking like or what he saw when he came through the door. But he told me, he said, that's it. He said, you're not going back there. Mm. And my doctor said the same thing. My psychiatrist, she said, I can't allow you to go back in that environment. So it was the support of my family, my friends, my psychiatrist, my psychologist. Right. You need those people in your life.
You do. It. I find, at least I've heard and I believe this, that this psychological stress and the constant exposure to these psychosocial hazards are very akin to being in a abusive relationship.
Yes.
It's I know it's abusive. But what happens when we're under threat and under stress, it's this task fixation. Our focus gets so narrow because we're trying to survive. And so people around us can actually see some of the options, but we can't, because we're in the middle of it. We're just trying to, every day, just trying to, you know, survive today. I can't think about a bunch of options. I'm thinking about this. And, you know, that's why I asked that question about how important it is. And you mentioned how important it is to have people who are close to you, you know, friends, family. And that's when you find out who your real friends are.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yes. Because the fake friends, well, you know, they kind of turn their back and they're wandering. Well, I don't know about her. I used to be friends with her. We don't talk anymore. Your real friends, those that I believe this about any type of disaster or emergency. Again, it makes you more of what you already were.
Absolutely.
Why? Because if you are close, you get closer.
Yep.
If you're not really all that close, what the pressure does and what the disaster, it causes you to pull apart. So that's just wonderful to know that there were people around you. And so hearing that actually kind of leads to this, you know, next, I guess I'm not surprised that you started a group for those who didn't have friends. So
tell
us about Boss Up.
So Boss Up Culture, or bossupculture.org to be exact. It was birthed out of obviously my pain, right? And me trying to find what wasn't out there. And so I said to myself, I will never, if I have the opportunity, allow anyone to have to go through this much pain and to go through it alone. And again, like I expressed, you know, I had family, I had friends, I had my professional mental health team, right? And I want to give people a place to come where, number one, they're not alone, they're not isolated, that they're not crazy, because gaslighting is a huge part of this epidemic. You know, they want to talk to you. Oh my goodness, something's wrong with her. You know, so especially if it's embedded in the culture, you've seen it happen to your coworkers and now it's happening to you. Then you start doubting yourself. So I wanted to give people a place where they could educate themselves, where they could find resources, support. Everything I was looking for is on my website at bossupculture.org. And hence the reason why I started my YouTube channel as well. And it's just amazing how things are divinely guided, because I had no plans to start a YouTube channel. That was not where I was going with this, right? I just say, let me just start this 501c3 and be done with it. But no, I wanted to start it off with me sharing. I did a PSA. My son, you know, was in video production school at the time, and I did the PSA, and a lot of people took interest in it. And then from there, I shared my story, and then people started subscribing to my channel. And that just told me that people needed more. They needed more information. And I'm like, if I have all these experiences, why am I keeping this to myself? It appears that I've gone through just about everything or anything that a person that has dealt with workplace bullying abuse can deal with over almost a decade of workplace bullying abuse. Why not share those experiences so that I could be the roadmap, so to speak, the way for people to know that they aren't alone and that there are steps that you can take, and take them step by step of my journey and how they don't have to go through that.
Right. So yeah, I'm now a fanboy, I guess, of the, but I'm watching some of your, you know, some of your recordings. Sometimes it seems like, you know, you just kind of feel the inspiration and, you know, I need to share this. So talk a little bit about, you know, how, you know, creating a channel and how you decide what you actually talk about.
Oh my goodness. It's just, you know, it's like a topic came to me this morning that I'm going to have to film later on today. It's just those things that come up. I'll give you guys a sneak peek. It's about being woke when it comes to workplace bullying abuse. Because I know the term woke has been thrown around a lot lately. And it really is about being awakened, right, of what is going on behind the scenes. So I get these bursts of inspiration when I'm either walking my dog or when I wake up in the morning, and it's just essentially the heavens opening up and saying, you need to share this with your beautiful people today. It literally, just about everything, I'll tell you, when I first started my channel, I was writing a script and it wasn't working out. You'll see how stiff I was, but I was really in the thick of it. But now you can tell the authenticity when I'm sharing my experiences, because it's something that hits me that morning and I'll say, I need to share this. And then I just sit in front of my phone and it's go time. And it's usually one take. I don't do any edits. That is not what I'm about. If you're coming to my channel for that, that's not what's going to happen.
Right.
Even though I have someone in my house that knows how to do all those things, it's about the message for me. And when it flows through me, I just know I better sit down and get it out. And that's how it comes.
Right. And yeah. I've also noticed, you know, at least some of the recordings that you do, just the environment itself is very peaceful. It seems that way anyway. And
thank you.
Yeah. You notice some of those things. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and all of that, at least to me, seems to be, you know, it was a part of your journey, and it looks like you're sharing that with other people about, these are the things that give me peace and cause me to feel better about, you know, where I am and what's going on in my life. And I think that's important to share with other people, because you're not the only one. I think sometimes that's what these situations and the people in them, in the toxic cultures, they want you to believe, oh, it's just you. The problem is you. And if you would just adjust to this and get used to it, we can keep doing more of it to you. And you go like, nah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it opened up a whole other path for me in terms of coping and understanding my power. I honestly think, and this is what I tell everyone that's going through workplace bullying abuse, that you were chosen to do this because you do have the strength, and you do, obviously you're powerful, and that's the reason why people are coming for you. Mm. They don't come for people that they don't see as a threat, right? Most people that have reached out to me that I've coached one-on-one, people that have reached out to me on my channel with their comments, these are usually people that know the job, right? And so I had to, when I was going through this, I had to take a step back and go within, because I was so busy focusing on out there that I could not see what was going on in here. Right. So going through that forced me to go inside, to go within. And I was able to tap into a part of my spirituality that I've never been able to tap into before. So I found that place in my home where I know that I can go to. I always tell people to find a place that they can go to that they feel safe, where they can meditate, where they can find inspiration, where they can journal, that type of thing. It's all about understanding your own power. And I tell people, and I'm about to really, really butcher this quote, but it comes from Rumi. Okay. And Rumi talks about how there is either inspiration or growth from the wound. You have to be wounded in order for the light to shine in that, right? And once the light is shined around, just like when you have something going on in your body, right? And you go to the doctor, and then the doctor may have to open you up and find out where that issue is, or give the x-ray, right? Or you have an MRI, and they go within. And we have to be surgeons within ourselves to go within to find out, okay, what is really going on here? You used to have high self-esteem, but you don't. Now your self-esteem is low. And now you're second guessing everything that you've ever done. Let's take a look at that. And when you go within, you start finding out things. I call it shadow work, you know, where you are facing your demons, so to speak, facing the things that are hindering you from progressing in life or whatever it is you want to progress in. And once you shine a light on those things and bring light to the darkness, then you can't fear. Then you can move on. Then you have the power to move on and transcend and transmute and turn lemons into lemonade. Right. And that's what I was able to do once I was able to go in that wound, face that wound, right?
Right.
And not be afraid of it.
Right.
Call it out for what it is,
right,
and say, okay, where can you, like you just said, where can I make the change? Because yes, we know they need to make a change.
Yes.
But what do I need to do to make myself happy in this situation while I'm here?
Right.
How can I address me so that I can move on and progress?
Right. Because if you, it's like lots of forms of particularly emotional trauma. Once, and again, it is bad that that it is a negative thing to me to have a psychosocial hazard that you get exposed to that causes trauma. That's not a good thing. That's why, you know, I think it's important that safety people like me pay attention to those non-physical hazards in the workplace. That's the goal. It's you can't eliminate all of them. There's not a perfect company or perfect group. There isn't. But when a person starts to feeling like they're not safe and feeling, you know, something's not right, let's address it right then. Because if it gets to the point that where the person gets damaged or harmed by that, that harm is going to be there until that harm gets healed, if it ever does. And if the person doesn't get the care that they need, they carry that harm to their next job, to their next relationship, to their next, you just carried along with you. It was bad that the person punched you and broke your arm or whatever, but the arm still needs to get fixed. You need to get surgery, because otherwise the arm's not going to function the way it's supposed to because it got broken years ago. So that exactly like you just talked about, and emotionally, it's doing the work to fix what's been damaged. Otherwise, again, I think sometimes people, they simply leave. Oh, I'm just going to leave. That may be part of it, but simply leaving is not it.
It's not
because you will take, you have now been infected, particularly with that, you know, that trauma, that damage, that negative energy, you're infected with it. You're going to take it to the next place unless you find exactly. Yes,
absolutely. And on top of that, you're leaving people to deal with what you know is there. So if we just allow things to continue, then you are basically accepting you are just as much as the problem. Right. So the thing of it is yes, you can move on. However, address yourself, address those things to fix that harm, to fix whatever harm has been caused. But at the same time, what are you doing? I believe in giving back, sure. right? So how sure. are you giving back? Sure. It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily do something to that company, but you can help others by maybe perhaps filing a complaint with EEOC, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You can help others by getting involved with helping support the Dignity at Work Act, mm-hmm. getting involved in helping to find out what is out there with workplace bullying abuse ordinances, such as what you have going on in Georgia. Mm-hmm. How can I support that? Mm-hmm. The organizations are out there right. for workplace bullying abuse. All you have to do is a Google search.
Right.
And my face and your face will be right there.
Right.
So it's all about getting involved. You don't even have to be front and center, but you know, I believe that when you help other people, you also help yourself, and it also helps you heal. And that for me, I'll tell you, me doing the videos, that's also therapy for me.
Right.
Because I'm getting that story off of me.
Not only
as a lesson, but I'm releasing that.
Right.
You know, metaphorically, you know, and physically, because I'm speaking it out and I'm saying, hey, this is what happened to me. However, it is a release that not only helps people, but also brings the awareness, and it's a snowball effect.
Yes.
So I think that we can all be effective in our journey in sharing our stories. Mm-hmm. They can also share their stories. Share your story anonymously.
Right.
You know, come on podcasts like yours.
Mm-hmm,
ask, you know, send me a message on my YouTube channel. I'll be happy to discuss a topic. You know, we can all help each other.
Yes. And you mentioned one of the other efforts that you've been involved in, the Dignity at Work Act. So talk a little bit about that effort and what that's about.
Oh my goodness. The Dignity at Work Act, it's a global, it's a national effort. And it's soon to be a global effort. Mm-hmm. Myself and several other people that have experienced workplace bullying abuse, we get together once a month, mm-hmm. Discuss the different initiatives we have going on in each state to get the Dignity at Work Act passed. The Dignity at Work Act is basically protection for employees against workplace bullying abuse. Mm-hmm. It also it's beneficial, like I said, to the employer as well. I don't want employers to think that we're coming for them, because we're not. We're just asking for them to, just like sexual harassment and other harassment in the workplace that's illegal, we want to deter people that are cancers in your corporations or businesses, so to speak, so that it doesn't tarnish your image, so that it doesn't make your healthcare costs go up. So this Dignity at Work Act, it helps with the whole company, the whole person, in terms of their mental health, their physical health. So it's good for the employee in that way. And it's also good for the employer, because it helps save their reputation. It helps save them with the legal costs associated with workplace bullying abuse, because even though it's not illegal yet, it will become illegal. Trust me, a lot of people are coming on board now, and they're losing that sense of fear. Like you said, COVID, that has made people, it has opened their eyes. It has awakened people to the fact of what they will and will not accept. So the people that were fearful in speaking out, the fearful people that were fearful and leaving their jobs, they don't have that sense of fear anymore. So they're starting to speak up and support things such as the Dignity at Work Act, which will make it illegal for workplace bullying abuse to continue.
Right. Another example, and again, I share that on these podcasts as well, that we are behind in terms of, you know, our regulation around how people are treated at work. I mean, there are many, many countries, again, the host country of this podcast and others, you know, there are countries out there that they've been doing this for years. I'm not saying that the issue still isn't there. I mean, they're not, I'm not suggesting they're perfect, but there are regulations, and many of those regulations are health and safety directed. In Australia and Canada and the UK and other parts of the world, where there's a law that says that you cannot expose your workers to this kind of stress without doing what's reasonable to try to protect them. You can't fix everything. But the issue is, in some cases, we're not only not doing nothing, we're making it worse. As you see. And again, I think any of us can understand that, you know, these are other humans. They're not going to get it perfect. But you make it worse when a person comes to you and says, look, I'm not feeling good about this particular thing. And it's, well, you just don't understand and you have to change. Yes. Well, that you have to change stuff is directly in conflict with these conversations about diversity, about yes. equity and inclusion, because I am different. Yes, absolutely, I'm different. I think different. I look different. I feel different. I work differently. And my differences, you know, you got to figure out a way to incorporate my differences so you can get, you know, the work out of me that you say you want.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, these an employee, and I know I was one of them, and I know that you are one of them as well. An employee will give you 1,000% if they're treated fairly.
Absolutely.
But to dump work on them on purpose, to mistreat them, and to think that they're going to be putting the company first, well, you Nothing. Have another thing coming. So Nothing. That's why it just benefits everyone.
Right.
The corporations, I don't care if that's your buddy in management that's doing these things. Take your buddy aside and say, hey, look, we're gonna end up catching a lawsuit because of your behavior right. and your misconduct. We're right. gonna end up getting sued if you continue with this that's happening. We have to make sure that there are laws in place that will let people know that it will not be tolerated in that workplace. And so I have partnerships with, in fact, a staffing company here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. She actually distributes work. She has a lot of remote work on her website that people can sign up for. And one of the goals when we decided to partner up together, I told her, any company that you're dealing with, if we're going to be strategic partners, they have to make sure that they will not tolerate workplace bullying abuse in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that is one of those things we are very intentional with mm-hmm. the companies that are coming on board with her mm-hmm. because we want to make sure that we're not taking people from the frying pan to the fire.
Right, right, right. I think yes. that is just so, that's so important. One of the, it's become a habit for me now, particularly when I go into service industry type places, grocery stores, restaurants, I don't go to the barber any often anymore. So not there, but when I go and receive services, I was just in a restaurant the other day. And I asked the folks who are working there, so how long have you worked here? And how do they treat you here? How do you like working here? I was on a flight recently. I asked the flight attendant, what is it like working for this? And this is an airline that I spend a lot of money with.
Right.
And I say that intentionally, because if you're not going to treat people with dignity and respect, I'm not sure why I should keep giving you my money, because I'm supporting the behavior if I do that.
And that is so smart of you. And you know what? If more people started asking those questions, how are you being? And I'm going to actually, now I'm going to start asking the questions when I start going places.
Why would I? So if this is important to me, and mm-hmm. again, when I think about the situation that you're in, again, I've been in situations myself. I've talked to others. And, you know, that's why I ask about those supporters. There were people who could have said something, but they didn't. They just, you know, it's really not my place. Of course it's your place. You are enabling that behavior. If you're a shareholder, if you're a customer, and you know what's going on, you know what's going on, and you don't stand up for folks. Because if you don't stand up for someone else, who's going to be there to stand up for you? So again, it's something I do now. I mean, and there I do have, I won't name drop them here, because of the ones that I don't shop at now, because I don't feel good about how they treat people. And I'm also open that if you change, I'll come back. If you start treating people, I'm not unreasonable, but I'm only one person. I'm not a bazillionaire. So maybe you don't need my, you know, the money that I bring. But if enough of us did that, you know, if enough of us made sure that, for example, the teachers at the schools where our children attend, you know, well, do I want those teachers to be mistreated? No, because guess what? They're going to mistreat my children. The workers who pick up trash in my city, who ride on the fire trucks and police cars, I don't want them abused and mistreated. Why? Because they can't give me their best if they're being mistreated. And I think if we all do that, what a wonderful world it would be.
And doesn't it sound so simple, but I don't understand why it's so hard, that if I treat you good, then you're going to go in turn treat someone else good, because we're all mirrors of what we're feeling, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so if I'm feeling bad and I want to project my feeling bad onto you, which is normally the case when it comes to workplace bullying abuse, you have a manager who feels incompetent, a manager who may have some professional jealousy towards you.
Right.
And they just feel like, or you're better qualified for the job than they were. And that's what I think happened with me. And it's just to the fact that, you know, they, you know, want to project that. But what people would just turn that around and say, hey, if I put that out, I mean, the whole thing, what goes around comes around. It sounds so cliche, but it is so true. I'll treat you nice. You're going to treat me nice. Everyone's happy and everyone's going to treat everyone else nice. And right. that's all we want from these corporations. And that's what the Dignity at Work Act will ensure that people do. Make sure that you have this in your face. You have the awareness that this is an issue. So let's make sure that people are abiding by these rules, that everyone is treated with dignity and respect at work. We shouldn't have to have those rules in place, but guess what?
You know, it's okay. It's okay. So if people wanted to, you know, they see your YouTube channel, how do people get involved with your nonprofit? I mean, how can they, other than, you know, writing a check and sending it to you, but I mean, that's a great one as well. So how do people, you know, resources, how do people get connected to you?
Oh, wow. All you have to do is visit my website at www.bossofculture.org. That's BOSSUPCULTURE.org. We have a resources page where we have attorneys, and we have an attorney on there now who's a great employment attorney. We have staffing companies where you can find another job. You can reach out to us and send us email if you need some support in that way. And as you mentioned, we do fundraise in terms of making sure that we have money in place for those that can't afford mental health care. That is the reason why we're 501c3. So anyone that donates is tax deductible. And you're also helping employees that can't afford mental health care get the mental health care that they need to be able to move on and be productive in society. I am on Instagram, glamgirl_Chris. And I'm on Twitter. I'm Kristen Peoples.
Right.
I am on, where else? I'm on TikTok. I'm trying to get hip. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get everywhere. So if you go to the website though, and go all the way to the bottom, you'll see all my handles, but we do have the Boss of Culture org channel on YouTube. So I encourage people to go there and learn whatever you can there, because I pour my heart and soul into those videos.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that before, you know, before people think we've gone too far, we're getting there, but I want to make sure that people knew that there are regular people, you know, regular people who've had the same experience that they've had. It may yours may be again, particularly in terms of duration, you know, the fact that you were able to stand up to that for so long. Most aren't able to stand up to it that long. They aren't. And it, you know, it makes me think about, you know, the passage in the good book is, you know, to whom much is given, sometimes much is required. And on the other hand, but you're not given more than you can handle. And even though when you're going through it, it just really didn't seem like that, you know, for such a time as this, because of the, what you've been able to go through, you can now really talk to people and then help others that it doesn't have to be this way. You thought that was, that's not normal. That shouldn't be. And even if it is normal, do you really want to stay in that?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's, and I basically just show people, I lay out the signs. I lay out what not to look for, what to look for and what not to tolerate, what not to accept. But you know, even though I wouldn't pay to go through everything that I went through ever again, ever. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know. I know I couldn't do it two times.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, is that anyone going through this, do not think that you are abnormal. Do not think that anything is wrong with you. Again, this is a reflection of how these people feel about themselves. Yes. They're putting their hurt and pain onto, they're trying to, you know, just like how you're hurting sometimes and you just want the pain to go away. They're trying to release that too. Right. And so I've learned in that experience that it's those people that are hurting and they just want to release that hurt. And I just happen to be what they want to be. And I just want, if I could just drive that home to targets of workplace bullying abuse and let them know it has nothing to do with you. Right. The only thing that it does have to do with you is the fact that perhaps you're a role model and people want to be like you and they want to emulate you. And instead of people humbling themselves and coming to you and say, hey, you know, I want what you have, or I want to be where you are. They put their ego first. Mm-hmm. And if we can all just, you know, let that ego go, I know the ego is there to protect us, but that's how they protect themselves, by hurting other people and bringing other people down.
So
I just think that we just have to understand that one very thing, it has nothing to do with us at all. And everything to do with the bully, the mob, you know, and the behavior.
So what's next? I mean, so if you were to look out over the next, you know, few months and years, what do you see for Kristen and for Boss Up Culture? What are you thinking?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm doing a lot of podcasts right now, so I'm spreading the word, right? So I have a lot of the awareness going out there. I've been in some publications, and so I look forward to making sure that I'm in every publication out there, just spreading the word about workplace bullying abuse in terms of making sure that everyone's treated fairly and equitably at work. I am also thinking about hosting a retreat. I'm getting there. I would like to, that is something that is in the works, and I would like to have a healing center where people can come actually physically. So I'm also working on some programs where people can have access to me one-on-one online. I do have the one-on-one coaching programs, but everyone may not be able to afford that. So I want to make sure that I have an affordable option for people. And I'm also working on a workbook for people to kind of walk them through how to protect themselves with workplace bullying abuse. So that will be available on my site. I'll be publishing it on Amazon. So that's something that I'm working on. I'm very proud of it. Everything that I've been through, right? I want to be able to hand the baton, so to speak. You know, when you're meeting with that attorney, what all do I need? All of that's available for people. So so that it could just make, you know, documenting workplace bullying abuse more simple. Because I tell you in my videos, document everything. But for everyone, I don't care how I explain it. Sometimes people just need something in black and white.
They do.
And that's what I plan on giving them.
Well, we'll, you know, we will certainly, again, we're going to continue to be in touch, and we'll try to make, to the extent that we can make those resources available to people. You know, I I'm a supporter. And I think, you know, what you're doing is so important, again, from a safety perspective, because again, I remember I'm a safety guy. I always think this is another one of those tools, just like we have a first aid kit. There's a requirement. If you have a certain number of employees that you have a first aid kit, you have people trained in first aid. Mm-hmm. But in terms of emotional support, there's not a kit. There's not anything. People are just left to their own devices. So when these things come up often, and as you said before, I do not believe that every bully out there is necessarily a bad person. Most of them are damaged people themselves. They are.
Yep.
Somebody bullied them, and they're just passing that behavior on to somebody else. But it's the organization's responsibility to create this climate and this culture that says, I know you may be struggling, but look, let us help you. Let's not take that out on each other. Let's work together. Let's help each other. Let's treat each other with dignity and respect, as opposed to bullying and abuse. And the entire system. And again, this sounds, when the words come out of my mouth, I can still hear people, oh, that's Pollyanna, that's soft. And okay, you're entitled to feel however you want to feel about that. But I just believe that there are many of us who believe that this is what workplaces should be like. They should be a place where we can come and collaborate together and work together and feel good about what we accomplished. Yes. Not go home with an ulcer or have to see a psychiatrist because of the emotional damage that's been created at work. Yeah.
You know, the solution, I'm a solutions girl, right? I'm always about what can I do to make things easier, effective. What can I do? What is out there for the greater good, right? Not just for myself, but because whenever I work on anything, when it comes to myself personally, I say, okay, what is good for me, but also good for the collective? And it all stems from, it's two things, very simple, love and fear, right? And I know a lot of people don't look at love from a sense of work, but loving what you do, loving your environment, loving your brother as you do yourself, as the good book says, right? But a lot of these corporations and companies are leading with fear. And so what does that do? Try to put people in their place. But when you put people in their place, you're going to have people that resist. And then that's when the conflict comes in. So why not make it easier for everyone to kumbaya, right? Everyone to be on the love side. Why do I need to fear coming to work? Why do I need to fear something's going to happen to me? Why do I need to fear this? Why don't I just love my job? Right. Everyone loves their job. Right. Everyone loving on each other. Everyone knows that we all want the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing.
Right.
Everyone
right.
wants to be loved, respected. Everyone wants friends. Everyone wants to be able to go to work and go to work in peace and come home and take care of their family. So why can't that's all as employees. I think that's what people want. That is
it. That's right. And you know what? I had a conversation with someone recently who reminded me, oh yeah, well, people have to make money. That's also how you make money.
Yes.
When you get capable, qualified people like Kristen Peoples, who is excellent at her job. She knows how to do the work and you can keep her. That is how you make money. You know, that yes. retention right now is a big issue for a lot of places. You might be yes. able to get people, but you can't keep them because, you know, and again, as I say often, people who will come for money will leave for money.
Yes.
But people who come for purpose will tend to stay for purpose because they Absolutely. Feel the pressure. And sometimes they'll even take the hometown discount because they love it so much. They love the environment so much. I don't need all money ain't good money.
Yes.
It's just not. So just because, you know, the salary looks higher, you know, people, as you start to pay attention to the culture of these organizations, I think that there are some who are going to go, you know, look, I'll pass on the big dollars. I want to be treated well. I want to feel good about being here.
Yes. And you know what else I also equated workplace bullying abuse to? And it's so funny that you brought that up. Yes, I was salary. Yes, I had the title. I had the seniority. I had the benefits. I had all of that work from home, everything that you can think of, you know, and I have what you call the dream job. I told people I was an engineer. Oh, the respect that came from it. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I always give the analogy that what I dealt with was like the abusive boyfriend, right? And guys can flip it the same way because men get abused in relationships as well. They get used as well. But it's that girl, for me, I looked at myself, I started this company when I was 18 years old, and that is all I knew. And he gave me money, right? I'm calling it he because I'm equating it to the boyfriend situation. He gave me money. He's taking care of me, the security. So I thought the security, right? And then I had to start thinking like, oh my goodness, I am not who I used to be. I don't like who I am right now. This is not who I was intended to, you know, I wasn't intended to feel bad every time I went to work. So those experiences with that person, if just like if you have a friend or every time you come around that person and they make you feel bad, you should never be in a place where you're feeling bad when you walk away from something. You should never. It should always be a balance. You should always, and no one should ever be doing this to you, dangling anything over you, you know? So I want people to also, the things that you will not tolerate in a relationship, look at your job the same way because you have a relationship with your job. And I tell people too, you know, when we're looking for these new jobs, because, you know, there'll become, you know, you'll have some people that will leave a company and go someplace else, right? You're like, I'm going to go someplace and be treated fairly. But what we need to be asking is, what is the culture in this company? How do you guys deal with workplace bullying abuse? Those are the questions we need to be asking them. So just like they're on the other side asking us, what can we do for them? We need to be asking the questions, what can you do for me?
Right. Absolutely. Wow. As I expected, I come away from our conversations thinking about other things myself. I go like, you know what? He didn't say it another one. I got to go process some of that. You know, like that is just so, I just think it's so important what you're doing. And
thank you. And again,
it feels accessible. You know, I want to have a variety of folks kind of talking to podcasts. And I've had a couple of people and we'll have more who are, you know, very academic in their assessments of things. And then I have people who, are just really, you know, just right to it. And you're one of those people who's just in the middle. enough of the, you know, high level discussion, but also just put it in a way that people can understand. And I think we need as much of that as anything, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
We need things that are relatable and directions that people can actually follow that don't, you know, make the situation worse. So thanks so much for what you're doing. And yeah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Yeah.
So listen, being here with you, my friend, because, you know, and then you guys, I will tell you this. This is one of the blessings of workplace bullying abuse, because I will tell you, I have truly found my tribe in doing this. I have friends all over the world now that have experienced the same things. And because we're connected in that way, it has opened up so many doors for me in other ways. And I've been able to open the doors for other people as well. And it feels so good.
That's wonderful. So wonderful.
Don't look at this when you're dealing with this workplace bullying abuse. You guys are the chosen ones. And I tell people this all the time. There is a reason why you're going through this. You have been chosen. And now that when you connect with people like myself and Dave, we can include you in our tribe.
Yes.
And say, hey, you're not alone. And we can open your door. We can open doors up to you that you probably never even experienced. There's a reason why you're going through this. And so I always tell people, look at the lesson. Don't look at it as a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not what someone's doing to you. It is what someone's doing for you. And you having those binoculars and being able to see through the muck. And if we can get past the muck and see what this experience is truly about, what are we supposed to be learning? Oh my goodness. That's how powerful you will find out that you are. And that's why I tell people to tap into that potential.
Right. So much. I'm so honored to have met you and to consider you a friend.
And
so good to be a part of this growing tribe of people that just care about other people. We just care about other people. That's what this is about. And I do believe that slowly but surely that we are going to change the workplace culture in this country little by little, you know.
Yes.
If it only turns out to be the, you know, the few thousand people or a million people who come in contact with us.
but I'm telling you, man, we're on our way.
Yes, we are.
We're on our way. And, you know, yes, like you said, it's small right now, but it's growing. People are getting past that. People are getting past that fear. They're moving past fear and moving towards love. And that's where the wokeness comes from.
Right. So happy that, Kristen, you were able to spend some time with me today. For those of you who are watching, please reach out to Kristen at Boss Up Culture. You can certainly follow me at id2-solutions.com. Go to my website or follow me on LinkedIn. There's a long list of podcasts just like this from all over the world. If you want to see what's going on around the world and figure out that we are not alone in having this conversation. But again, until next time, certainly want to thank you, Kristen, for joining us. And I think that's going to be it for this episode of the Psych Health and Safety USA podcast. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Psych Health and Safety USA podcast. To stay up to date with the best content on workplace mental health in America, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And join the Flourish DX community at www.flourishdx.com.